This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Judge Jim Gray from Atlanta, Georgia. Tell us, Judge Gray, you're running for the U.S. Senate. What are you doing in Atlanta?
Well, I am happy to say that this is a real convention. We are here in Atlanta with the Libertarian Party, and on Saturday we will select our presidential nominee, unlike the other two main parties or big parties, that's already been decided. And I can also tell you rather proudly that it's not going to cost the taxpayers a nickel, unlike the Republicans, Democrats, who charge the federal government taxpayers millions of dollars.
Not to mention Not to mention the money they get afterwards.
And that's exactly right.
Is the Libertarian Party getting any of that money? You're going to be getting tens of millions of dollars?
You know something? If we would be offered it, I'm sure we would decline it. That is inappropriate, and we don't believe that the government should be involved in politics.
Good. We're here to talk mostly about Iraq. You put out a press release today, and you mentioned that you have a four-point plan to I guess you could say, end the war in Iraq. What's your four-point plan?
Well, Mark, it is fruitless at this point to say, oh, what if we weren't there, or point fingers and say that you did this or you did that. We are in Iraq right now. We have made some promises, and we should keep them. And so we have made a promise to stay until the 30th of June, such time we will hand over control to the Iraqi people, and we should do that. And then I feel that we should announce publicly to the world community, namely the United Nations, the world body, that by Christmas time of this year, we will leave Iraq and take our fighting forces out and bring our troops home by Christmas. However, the world body should take over, and we should do more than our part to assist that United Nations effort. Only then will the people of Iraq really appreciate that which we have done once we have shown that we're not going to occupy them. The last base that we have there, once the last C-17 flies away and takes away our last troops, we'll turn over the keys to the Iraqi people. We will not keep military bases there, and then they will believe us that we're not an occupying force and get on with their lives.
There's a range of possibilities here, and over the last few days people have been talking, for example, I heard Stanley Hoffman, who's a professor of government at Harvard, talking about what he thinks ought to be done, and he said that stating that we're not going to be building bases there is a very important step towards convincing the Iraqis, among other things, that we're not that we're liberators and not occupiers.
Right this minute, we are building bases there, and that directly is contrary to what we're saying. We've also built the biggest embassy in the world there in Baghdad, which also shows an encamped presence. And by the way, for heaven's sake, now the administration is talking about actually demolishing the Abu Ghraib prison and building a new one. Well, you know, that means that the taxpayers of the United States of America are going to have to reach in their pockets and pay about $200 million because the administration is embarrassed about what happened in that prison. There needs to be some rationality on this, some fiscal responsibility, and we, the taxpayers, we, the voters, need to stand up and make our voices heard.
Okay, now there are two other parties in your plan that, besides you, that need to be taken into account. Let's take the international one first. Point number two of your plan is internationalizing the mission in Iraq, involving the UN, involving other countries. That seems to be among the many essences of the problem here, that they haven't been the other country. More countries are pulling their troops out of Iraq than are sending them there now. What point of logic or other point do you think could be used to convince other countries to involve themselves in Iraq?
Well, Mark, this is a world problem. This is not a United States or Great Britain problem, and we must be taken seriously about this such that the world body will know that unless they come in when we leave, there will in fact be a bloodbath. There will be a lot of revolutionary activity there unless the United Nations steps forward, and it's going to be on their back. to do that.
So you're essentially saying the United States has to say, we're leaving by Christmas. You can either have civil war and a mess, or you can go in, UN. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. That is exactly what I am saying.
Okay. And you mentioned a figure here that I hadn't seen before. You say 135,000 American troops. That sounds right. And you mentioned 20,000 civilian contractors. Is there that many?
Oh, yes.
Are there that many?
Oh, yes, indeed. There are a lot of people over there on the public trough. There's so much money going into Iraq, some of which is fine, some of which may not be. But, you know, last time I looked, we have needs in the United States of America as well. And we just need to bring a balance to this. And it is a world issue. We probably, when we leave, might have to leave a trust fund of a certain amount of money there to continue on with this work. I'm not objecting to that because we've made the promise to do it. But otherwise, our people should come home. Try it this way. You know, I live in California. How would we feel in California to be occupied by the army of Iraq with all of the difference in languages, cultures, religions, attitudes, outlooks, and the rest? It would certainly get very old very quickly, and that, of course, in reverse, is what's happening today in Iraq.
When you throw in the question of the torture of the prisoners in the camp, it seemed more like the new movie coming out tomorrow, I think, the day after tomorrow, made by the people who made Independence Day, in which the aliens come and they take over the planet and they start doing all kinds of bad things. The model from what you've just said, if I were an Iraqi, would be to see that the Americans would come in and the things that they would do would be essentially equivalent to a race of aliens coming in from outer space and putting people in prison and doing all kinds of occupational things.
You know, as I said, regardless of how we were originally received, because of what has happened, for one reason or another, and all of the transparent mistakes that have been made, we are now seen as occupiers. We might have been seen for liberators before, and so the people that are fighting against us are increasingly seen as freedom fighters. It is a no-win position for the United States of America, and we must do, in my view, what I said.
I don't want to be too colloquial here, but I was typing something into Google to see the name of the person from the UN who's picking the new government, and I got an ad that popped up. It says, "The Army National Guard can help you pay for college. Request info now and enter to win an iPod!" Click to enter to win. And then there's the logo of the Army National Guard, and underneath it says, "You can." And then there's looks like a 17-year-old guy and a 14-year-old girl listening to their iPod. And this is what the Army National Guard is spending money on, how to recruit more people for the fight.
Well, we have an all-volunteer force, and I am proud to say it is the best fighting force the world has ever seen. I think that that is working. In order for it to work, they need to recruit.
Yeah.
And there, I guess Madison Avenue has picked this avenue indeed.
Distinguish.
But I'm proud of our military beyond bound.
Well, distinguish more deeply, I think, the difference between supporting the troops and supporting the war.
Well, there's a major difference. There's a major difference. You know, I was in the military. I was in the Navy. I know what it's like to be in a fighting force during Vietnam. And I support our troops up, down, sideways, and every other way. However, it is certainly a different issue as to whether you support the policy or whether you make recommendations for that policy. And that is a totally different thing. But I tell you, boy, I'm going to, as a taxpayer, a voter, as a citizen, as a cheerleader, support our troops completely. And that's what we all should do.
Okay, the fourth item in your four-point program says, pursuing the genuine war on terror, which is defined as actions by a group or state that intentionally causes injury, destruction, or death to civilians. What do you think the war in Iraq is doing for the war on terror?
I think it is exacerbating the war on terror. Mark, we are recruiting people to fight against us in what I don't call it a war on terror. It is a police matter. We're talking about crimes. To call it a war means that, of course, it will never be over. How will we ever know when it's finished? But we are recruiting folks to take the other side on that far better than Osama bin Laden ever could do.
In fact, U.S. taxpayers are paying both to recruit Army National Guard people by offering them free iPods and recruiting the people to fight them by doing what the government is doing in Iraq.
We must look at this afresh and see the best way now, as of May of 2004 how we can bring peace to that area. I regret to say that the chances of a democracy in Iraq, given their history, given their temperament, given reality, are non-existent. That's not going to happen. And, you know, we can pay people money, we can bribe them, we can do the rest of that, but their allegiance to us will run out as soon as the money does. These are Iraqi issues. The people of Iraq must determine who the government is, and we must leave.
Now, to what extent are your views here in Iraq based on, you have three choices and you can pick more than one, your own visceral feelings about this, your analysis of the geopolitical situation, and three, libertarian principles?
I think they're consistent. The libertarian principles, of course, nobody speaks for the Libertarian Party, certainly not I.
Right.
But what we must understand is the best way of regaining security for the United States of America literally is to stop making so many enemies. People, if you trade with them, are not likely to shoot their trading partners. And if you don't stand up and exacerbate areas like we have in Iraq and create enemies, then we're going to be a lot more secure. That is a libertarian principle. I am certainly not an isolationist. Some accuse libertarians of being that, and I'll let them speak for themselves. But it's a real world, and we must be involved with it. I think that we have protected the seas for free trade, and I think the world owes us a debt, and we have benefited everybody by doing that. So I am not at all saying retreat to Fortress America. I am, however, saying that, you know, Mark, we are now having a military presence in more than 120 different countries around the world, and all I'm saying is let's conduct an audit of each one. Let's focus a light on our presence militarily in these various countries, and if it is serving our security interests, terrific, stay there. If we could serve them just as well by reducing the force, then let's have that reduction. And if our security forces would not be harmed or even benefited by withdrawing the forces, then that's what we should do.
Okay,
if we're overextended, we must withdraw, and then we'll stop making as many enemies, because a lot of people literally hate us for having a military presence in their countries.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the campaign. You're running against Republican nominee Bill Jones and Democratic nominee Senator Barbara Boxer. How's that going? Have you managed to get a debate with the two of them yet?
We're working on that. I don't expect any debates until September at the earliest.
All right.
September-October framework. There is definitely a movement by two institutions in Orange County to have a three-way debate with Boxer, Gray, and Jones. And I think that it's going to come to pass. I think the voters crave that sort of thing. It would be good for society to get additional ideas out there, because in so many ways, Boxer and Jones are on the same page. We need new ideas, and I tell you, the libertarians have those ideas. We can literally reduce the size of government, its cost, without reducing its effectiveness. We can actually bring a lot of prosperity back to California and the country by employing the libertarian ideas instead of this runaway half-trillion-dollar federal budget deficit, which is totally irresponsible, harmful to our children and grandchildren, and of course Barbara Boxer and Bill Jones don't talk about that at all.
And it's not only Senator Boxer and Bill Jones who seem to be on the same page. There was a lot of editorial comment in the New York Times yesterday about how Kerry and Bush are on the same page as well.
I think there's a strong argument to be made for that, and I am looking forward to having our presidential candidate from the Libertarian Party join that fray and bring in fresh and new ideas, where we will then be a lot more successful as a country.
Well, you think he or she will be able to get in debates with Bush and Kerry?
It's beyond my purview. I don't have any particular information, but I can definitely tell you that it will be helpful to the country to get those fresh ideas. All three of these candidates are good, solid, intelligent, experienced Americans, and they will bring that new dimension that will be only healthy for the United States of America.
Okay, let's focus on your race and Iraq. You say Boxer has taken no position on the call for rotating U.S. troops home by Christmas. What is her position on the war?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Barbara Boxer's position on the war, what is it?
You know, very difficult to say. She says something sometimes, to be honest, as I sit here and I've seen numbers of her comments, I don't know what she would do, but I can assure you, you know what I would do. We need some leadership, and it is not coming from Barbara Boxer. Bill Jones simply flat out supports whatever the administration does, and that isn't working either.
Okay, last question. What are you going to be saying? What are you doing at the National Nominating Convention this Saturday?
Well, I'm here having a good time.
Oh.
And I will be fortunate enough to address the convention as a whole on Friday for in the afternoon. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm going to tell people that I proudly stand before them being a member of the most promising political party in the country today, a Libertarian Party. We need more libertarian ideas. We need more libertarian policies in our country, and we assuredly need more libertarian office holders in our country, and that is my message.
All right. If you send me a copy of the speech, if you get it on video or you get it on text, we'll link it to this interview, and more people can hear it here as well.
Good. Look forward to it.
Thanks very much. Have fun giving the speech. Talk to you later.
Life is good, and I wish you well.
Good. You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
And by the way,
oh, yes.
Can I ask that people, if they have more questions, visit my website. I know that you post it, but it's www.judgejimgrayforsenate.com. Gray is G-R-A-Y, and it's the number 4. So judgejimgrayforsenate.com. It's interactive. Send us a message, and I'd love to have the email messages of your listeners, because then we will send you messages that they can forward on to their email universe, recommending that all of these good folks personally support Judge Jim Gray for Senate, and then we can trump all of the money on the other two parties.
We'll certainly give it a try.
Good luck to us all.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.